In the late 1960s, there was a war being waged. No, it wasn't a Southeast Asian country. It was the music industry, right here in the good old U.S. of A. The battle was between the mind-expanding psychedelic music and the oh-so-cute bubblegum genre. This war is being waged today on Huntley Community Radio between Jim and Nancy Eggers with their show, Psychedelic Bubblegum.
Hello, all you ex-hippies out there. Welcome to the 1960s, when it was all about equality.
That's right.
But today we are going to have a Mr. and Mrs. show just to go against the system. We're bucking a system.
We like to do stuff like that.
We're radicals.
Exactly.
But the Mr. and Mrs. theme takes me to my first song.
What a coinky-dinky.
My first offering is a song released by the American-Canadian rock band Buffalo Springfield in June of 1967. It was from their second studio album, cleverly titled Buffalo Springfield Again. How about that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Clever title.
It is.
It was the B-side of their single Bluebird, and I liked it.
You did?
Yeah. I don't know if anyone else did because I couldn't find any information on where it wound up on the charts.
Oh, isn't that a coinky-dink, too?
Yes.
My love, all of your songs, you have to make up numbers to get them on a chart somewhere in this world.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
But here it is, Mr. Soul.
Oh, hello, Mr. Soul. I dropped by to pick up a reason for the thought that I've caught that my head is the event of the season. Why in crowds just a trace of my face could seem so pleasing. I'll pop out to the change, but a stranger is putting the tease on. I was down on the frown when the messenger brought me a letter. I was raised by the praise of a fan who said I upset her. Strange, but don't change, and I let her.
In 1967, the Doors single Light My Fire reached number one. And when they appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, he wanted them to change the lyrics from Girl We Couldn't Get Much Higher to Girl We Couldn't Get Much Better, because he didn't want to have the drug reference. So Jim Morrison, of course, said, no problem. And, of course, he didn't do it.
Of course.
He sang it originally. And so he was banned from the Ed Sullivan Show forever.
This was live TV. Who would have thunk that this was going to happen, truthfully?
I know, really. Yeah, Jim Morrison, yeah, no problem. Okay.
Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits would never do something like that. Which brings me to my first song of the day.
Really?
Isn't that a coinky dinky?
How about that?
It's by Herman's Hermits, who took it to number one. Number one.
Big deal.
On the Billboard Hot 100 in May of 1965. The single debuted on the Hot 100 at number 12. Third highest debut of the decade. Mm-hmm. The band never dreamed it would be a single, let alone hit number one in the U.S. Here's Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter.
Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. Girls as sharp as her are something rare. But it's sad, she doesn't love me now. She's made it clear enough, it ain't no good to pine. She wants to return those things I bought her. Tell her she can keep them just the same. Things have changed, she doesn't love me now. She's made it clear enough, it ain't no good to pine. Walking about in a crowd, well, you'll pick her out. Makes a bloke feel so proud if she finds that I've been round to see you.
To see you.
Tell her that I'm well and feeling fine.
Feeling fine. Ooh.
Don't let on.
Ooh.
Don't say she's broke my heart.
Didn't guys sing that to your mom? Mrs. Bodner, you've got a lovely daughter.
Aren't you sweet?
I still got it.
In 1967, rock music gets the counterculture seal of approval as psychedelic hits, and San Francisco becomes the focal point of the new rock era with groups such as the Jefferson Airplane, Big Brother and the Holding Company, and the Grateful Dead.
Big Brother and the Holding Company, that's the one that featured Janis Joplin.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by...
It's new. It's now. It's Flash Cube. Flash Cube. Flash Cube. Only with the newest Kodak Instamatic cameras. Four full-power flashes and one tiny cube. Flash Cube. It's this way, man. Drop in a film, get yourself a flash cube, pop it on, take one, take two, take three, take four flash pictures without changing bulbs. In color, of course. Newest Instamatic camera outfits from less than $18, only from Kodak.
those were the good old days when he used to take a picture inside and say, did the flash go off? Did the flash go off? But what was the coolest part is when if he got done with the roll of film, you take it to the photo mat.
Exactly. That little hut sitting in the parking lot.
Like a little phone booth in the middle of a parking lot. Yeah.
That was cool.
For all you greasers and climbers out there who are just tuning in, you are listening to the Psychedelic Bubblegum Show here on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, 101.5 FM on your transistor radio.
Hello again, Peabody here.
Where are we going this time, Mr. Peabody?
We'll adjust the Wayback Machine to the year...
1967. 2 years after winning the heavyweight title, Muhammad Ali, also known as Cassius Clay, refuses to be drafted into the U.S. military. He cited his religious beliefs and opposition to the American involvement in the Vietnam War. Yeah, he didn't want to go. Nobody did. Listen to the 1967 newsreel.
Former world heavyweight champion Cassius Clay refused to take the oath of induction into the army. The black Muslim fighter, who's also known as Muhammad Ali, was immediately stripped of his title by the World Boxing Association. Clay insisted that he is an ordained minister and should be exempt. Clay also charges race discrimination by the Houston Draft Board. He faces federal prosecution and a possible 5-year prison sentence plus $10,000 fine. Later, Martin Luther King praised Clay's courage.
He was eventually arrested, found guilty of draft evasion charges, and stripped of his boxing titles. And that's what happened way back when.
Gotta get back in time. Gotta get back in time. Get back in time.
Well, that didn't work out too well for Cassius Clay, but he was a better man than I for standing up for his beliefs, which takes me to my next song.
Coincidence? I don't think so.
My second song for today is a song first recorded by the English rock band The Yardbirds.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
It became the opening track to the group's second American album, Having a Rave Up with The Yardbirds. I had that album. It was a great album.
Okay.
And this song finished at number 62 on the Billboard Top 10.
Oh, my. This is not going to be a good song then, because whenever you have to make up numbers, these songs kill me.
I do not make up numbers.
No, you don't. No, okay.
Listen and enjoy. Mister, you're a better man than I.
Can you judge a man?
Mister, you're a better man than I. Yeah, Mister, you're a better man than I. Oh, Mister, you're a better man than I. Yeah, Mister, you're a better man than I.
Could you tell a wise man by the way he speaks or spells? Is this more important than the stories that he tells? And call a man a fool if all wealth he doesn't strive.
Well then, Mister, you're a better man than I. Yeah, Mister, you're a better man than I. Well, Mister, you're a better man than I. Yeah, Mister, you're a better man than I.
Thank you.
condemn a man if your faith he doesn't hold. Say the color of his skin is the color of his soul. Could you say that men for king and country all must die?
Misty, you're a better man than I. Yeah, Misty, you're a better man than I. Misty, you're a better man than I. Yeah, Misty, you're a better man than I.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by... never mind.
I like that one, too. I always like those. Those are silly.
I got a million of them.
Well, not a million, but you've got a lot. You always exaggerate your numbers. The top billboards and now millions of silly things.
Thousands.
Thousands, okay. Thousands, yeah, right. Maybe 50, 100... That's much better. But anyway, I've got to stand up for all of us old women.
You go, girl.
Which takes me to my last song today. It was made famous for its inclusion in the 1967 film The Graduate. The song was written by Paul Simon and recorded by Simon and Garfunkel, and it contains a famous reference to the baseball star Joe DiMaggio. Remember him?
Yeah.
I do, too. It became the duo's second chart topper, hitting number one on the Billboard Hot 100. In 1969, it became the first rock song to win the Grammy Award for Record of the Year. Here's Mrs. Robinson.
Sofa on a Sunday afternoon, going to the candidates. please debate. Laugh about it, shout about it, when you've got to choose. Every way you look at it, you lose.
Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio? Our nation turns its lonely eyes to you. What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson? Joe to Joe has left and gone away. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
In 1967, the Academy Award for Best Picture goes to In the Heat of the Night, starring Rod Steiger and Sidney Poitier. Katharine Hepburn wins for Best Actress in Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Other box office winners were The Graduate.
How about that?
The Jungle Book and The Dirty Dozen.
Well, you know, you can rely on me to always play good songs.
That's your opinion, my love, because I recorded these songs for you because you were too busy.
Well, I'm reliable. Unlike the subject of my last song, The Cry and Shames were an American garage band from Hinsdale. How about that,
oh.
huh?
Oh. Yep.
They signed to Columbia Records in 1966. And while they were never to become a national success, their singles and three albums continued to sell well in the Chicago area.
Wow.
This song, and this is for real, charted at number 127 on the Billboard Hot 100.
It's not for real.
Here's Mr. Unreliable. It's been a gas. Keep off the grass.
We'll be back soon with another groovy tune.